Welcome to the Small Church Leadership Podcast, the podcast where we are helping the small church fulfill the big mission. My name is Brian. I'm a fellow small church pastor here with you guys, and I'm joined with two other small church pastors that have been called worse by better. Joey and Colby, how are you guys doing?
My life is dope, and I do dope things.
And I'm blessed.
Fantastic. Well, I'm glad to see you guys are consistent with how you're doing. That's awesome. Speaking of consistent, today we're going to continue. We talked last episode, what was that, episode 45, I think it was. We talked about journaling, and at the end of it, we decided we would talk about journaling prayers in the next episode. Well, I got to tell you, folks, today we're going to do that. But not only are we going to talk about journaling prayers, we're going to talk about prayer in general. Because can we be honest enough, guys, and say sometimes ministry gets so busy that it's difficult to keep a prayer life up that's just for personal connection with God, because we're praying and doing stuff for other ministry needs. And we could probably use a booster shot for our prayers every now and then.
Absolutely. I find that I get so busy. I get busy and then Lord, bless my busyness.
Uh-oh.
Help me get all this done, and I haven't spent no time with the God that I'm asking to bless me.
Yeah.
And how is it as a pastor we just don't go to prayer? You know,
we don't talk loud into a microphone as a pastor.
We pray. I could talk really loud, but I had a little bit of a tickle in my throat, so I didn't want to cough it out. But we had a how is it that we don't go straight to prayer first? How is it that as a pastor we talk about communicating with God and reaching out to God and praying to God, and we don't do it in our personal lives? We'll do it in church settings, but we just don't do it in our personal lives because we get busy with everything else, and we got plenty of excuses. But
and I have just went through some teaching that is just convicted my soul, and when I first heard it, I wanted to go punch the guy who said it and had to go deal with it. And what he said is, for most Christians, we do transactional prayers.
Yeah.
So we come to God and we're asking him for things. Lord, I need you to do this. I need you to give me a better job. I need you to, and all the, our prayer life is asking, telling God what we need him to do for us. And that's transactional prayer. And that's part of prayer, but it's only part of prayer.
Yeah.
And we make that the totality of my prayer.
Yeah. I think that that transactional prayer hits pastors because we're always having to do transactional things in ministry. Like transactional things, people will show up. The transaction is we will preach. People will show up. We will lead a small group. Or like that's just ministry is transactional. So the downside of that of ministry is you can do ministry. And anything you can do, sometimes you do it without the help behind that.
Mm-hmm. Like, absolutely.
I can preach. If God exists or not, I can speak, right? Like, and I know he holds everything together by the power of his word. Like, I understand, like, life is sustained because of God. I get that. But, like, let's just say there was no such thing as God. I can still communicate. I can also read books and learn how to communicate and how to work with the human psyche and all of that. So I don't have to depend on God to preach. I can just give head knowledge of something, or I don't have to depend on God to lead a meeting or to come in and turn the lights on and ask people to donate. And one of the dangers about ministry is you learn how to do ministry. And when we learn how to do, sometimes we unlearn how to depend. The end. So
there's transactional prayer. How that will look for me along with that is, so I'm coming to God. God, grow my church. God, do this for me. God, help me preach a better sermon on Sunday. And I think I'm communicating with God and that I'm praying. I'm spending all this time praying that God would do something here, but I hadn't spent no time with that God I'm praying to. And so moving from transactional prayer to transformational prayer, where my prayers are doing something in me, is communicating with God. It's allowing God to speak into my life about the situations that I'm going through.
Man, that's such a game changer right there. And then I realized when I started making some of that shift, I only understood how to connect with God transactionally. And so it was almost like just being with God sometimes was like awkward. And it's like, I don't know, do I make small talk here? Like, I don't, you know, it's like, I don't know what.
Do you want to talk
how
first?
Can
or do
I
you want me to talk
right,
first?
Yeah, like, do you like football? I can talk about football, like, you know, and it's just, being with God is, should be the most natural thing that we do, but ministry causes us to have to do certain things that we forget that we're called to be with God and let our doing flow out of our being.
One of the first times this really hit me and how I do that was I was praying. Probably no other pastor has to deal with this. It's just me. It's my downfall, my shortcomings as a leader is I had to deal with somebody in the church. And so I was praying, Lord, deal with them. Get them. Lord, deal with them. Lord, deal with this person so I don't have to be a leader.
Ouch.
Yep.
That's like the motto of my ministry.
So that's transactional. And so I had to go, okay, Lord, how can I lead this person? To what?
And I think that's how we're taught. That's how we're trained in the church. I remember, you know, going into Sunday school classes and there's, requests and praises written on the whiteboard and you would fill in the list of prayer requests and there'd be like 30 or 40 prayer requests. And then on the praise side, there was like one or two things because that's all God's done all week is those two things. And so, it's become a chore list for God that like what we used to leave for our kids when they were younger is we'd leave a chore list. When we'd leave for work, there'd be a list of chores they had to do. And so that's what we basically have given God is this chore list. And that's how we've been taught for so long is this, you've got your prayer requests, you've got your praises and that is part of it, but man, there's just so much more. That relationship with God, you know, I have a great relationship with my kids right now because my youngest is 20. My oldest is 27. And I don't leave them chore lists anymore because we have, they're older now, so I don't need to leave a chore list, but we have the relationship that we can talk about anything, we can do anything, and it's because we've spent time together. You know, it's no longer, just do these things. And as I've gone through, I've looked at this and I'd be like, you know, I've given God a lot of things to do. Why can't I just be with him? Mm. I forget who I was listening to said that we are human beings, not human doings. And I want to be with God. I want to be with him. And so I really felt that transformational prayer is what I really need more of. I need to be praying the scripture and really, Daniel Henderson, he wrote a book called, Old Paths, New Power. And it's all about, praying the scripture, looking at what God's word says and then praying that.
And I grew up in a home that your value was in your doing. Mm. And if you wasn't doing, you were getting yelled at for not doing.
Right.
And so I'm a doer by force. And I've met those people that just come in and can play music and worship for hours. And I'm going, well, you're not getting anything done. You got to get something done. And in my doing, I'm not doing that as effectively because I ain't spending time with a God who can make what I'm doing more effective.
Right, right. And when we see those people, so here's the thing that I've noticed, probably in my life and probably in other people as well, is that when you're around those people that are prayers, they pray and they are at the feet of Jesus. When you're with them, you're kind of intimidated by them. I got a guy in my church. He's 87 years old. This guy is the prayer guy. I mean, everybody will say, oh, have him pray, have him pray, yeah, have him pray. Why can't we all? He's doing nothing special except for he is praying to God. There's no difference. We can all do that. We shouldn't be intimidated. We shouldn't be intimidated by him because of his prayers. So, but that's what happens is people are like, well, I can't pray in public because I don't pray as good as he does. Well, then start and you'll be able to get there. He's a model. He's a humble man. He's not like, oh, look at my prayers. They're all holy and everything. He prays.
He spent time with God.
That's right.
And so those prayers are seasoned with this time with God. Just imagine if when you spent time with your spouse, they just had a list for you of things that they wanted from you. I need you to do this. I need you to do that. And that's the totality of your relationship is them coming to you going, I need you to get this list of stuff done for me. Would that be much of a relationship?
It would not be much of a relationship.
That's parent teenager chore list.
Yeah.
You know, and you're not a husband wife. You're employee employer.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so this transformational prayer is coming and spending time with our Creator. and allowing him to speak into our lives. Yeah. That when I leave that encounter, I'm leaving it different than I come in. And different may mean I just got to lay down some burdens.
Right.
That I talked to God about and allowed him to speak to in my life. And now I'm leaving with less burdens. His burden has become now lighter. Well, I've made it heavy.
Yeah.
Carrying this church because it's on my shoulders to do.
Right.
Now I've spent time with the Creator and he's lightened that for me.
Yeah. Well, Jesus said, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. So either Jesus was right or he was wrong. And I choose to believe that Jesus was right. And that must mean anywhere I'm feeling a yoke that's not an easy yoke, then that's something that I've put on me or someone else or sin has put on me. And I need to get back to spending time with the Lord and receiving his easy yoke and his light. It's not saying I'm not going to have a burden or a yoke, but it's saying that his is easy and his is light.
And tying it back into the journaling one that we talked about last week and talking about journaling the scriptures and getting that from us, then I take what I've learned there and then I pray it back to God.
Yes, God, I love that.
Our prayers, not we prayer. We love we prayers. Lord, we need you. We always talk about we that need. Now, I need.
Mm-hmm.
And so praying, Lord, okay, this is what I've learned in this scripture. I need.
Yes.
I need you to help me to do this.
Yes.
I need. My needs, but you changing me. This is
right.
what I need you to do.
Right.
I need from you to live this out.
Yeah. An eternal need, not a temporal need.
Yes.
Yeah. It's like I think about in our small group currently, we're going through a prayer small group. And one of the things we've done is we've prayed through 1 Corinthians 13. And there's that part where it says, love is patient. And I'm like, we're not praying we prayers. When it gets to you, pray. You're behind better praying I prayer.
Yeah.
And like every time that part gets to me, I'm like, God, you have said love is patient, but I am not patient. Help me have the love that is patient. You start praying that type of I prayer, and then you realize later on in the day or someplace where you're impatient, and it's almost like the Holy Spirit's like, didn't you just pray for this? Here's an opportunity for you to live out the things that you've been praying for. And honestly, I love and hate that at the same time.
Yeah, yes.
Because that's what discipleship is. It's I've connected with my Creator, and he's showing me where I can, where it's my turn. The river's meeting the road, and I love slash hate.
It's just easier to do transactional prayers.
So
I don't want to deal with that.
So
yeah.
Much easier.
Yeah, yeah, you can just talk about Aunt Betty's ingrown toenail, and you're done. You're good, yeah. Right? Yeah, so the thing, one of the things that I do pray, and this is the simplicity of Colby, is I pray for that Gibbs smack, Gibbs from NCIS.
Yeah.
I pray the Holy Spirit will give me a Gibbs smack on the back of the head when I'm not doing that love with patience and love with kindness and all those things. And so I'm asking the Holy Spirit, let me know I am hard-headed. Mm. I am going to do my way. I need you to smack me upside the head with that holy smack and tell me this is what you prayed for. You need to pay attention to this.
Okay, now I'm a little mad because I've never had to ask God for that. He just give it to me.
Well, I, yes, you're right. I get it all the time too. It's just I want to pay attention to it this time. I want to without a doubt know. Yeah.
Let me respond to the first one and not the 101st one.
Yes, yeah. Yeah. Let me catch that first one. And so that is something that I really do. I pray that that I'm not so hard-headed that I miss that. I prayed for it this morning, but God, I don't want to do it. I close my journal. I'm done, right? This mentality.
Right.
I've already closed that page, and so I'm on to tomorrow. And so I just want to make sure that I am specifically paying attention to what God is working through me in that prayer.
I love that. You know, to quote the great Dallas Willard, he says that we have to ruthlessly eliminate hurry from our lives. I think that we hurry through our prayer lives.
We do.
We hurry through the lists that we have, the transactional part. I think we also sometimes hurry through the transformational part. And what if, like, you were talking about pure, I can't remember if it was this episode or the episode before we're talking about journaling, but you were talking about going through and finding this word pure, and in all the different iterations that it's been used and all of that, what if you only had that one word to last you for the next 30 days,
right?
And you just had to live and exist and interact with God with all the ways that that could work in your life for the next 30 days, would that be enough? Or do we need to bounce on to this verse of the day here and we're in this over there? We just have so much stuff competing for our attention, even spiritually, that what if we just slowed down and allowed God to really work in our lives? Like, we talk about the one word, right? Like, the one word for the year, Kobe's one word is two words. But, like, the goal for that is to eliminate the distractions and be able to focus. Well, what if you came out of prayer time and somebody's like, hey, what happened in there? You're like, well, I prayed for this and this and this and this. Or if you were just like, hey, I was just with God. Mm-hmm. I was just with him.
Yeah.
Man.
So one of the things that I've been working on is changing my target. I'm not targeting transactional prayer, just praying for people. I'm targeting transformational prayer. And as I get transformational prayer, it will season and help my praying for my needs. And on the edge of that is intercessory prayer. It will season my intercessory prayer.
So what would you consider, if we're going to have definitions, transformational prayer, transactional prayer, and intercessory prayer? Give me those in a quick definition.
A transformational prayer is that God is renewing my mind. Because how do we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. How do I renew my mind? I get in the Word of God, and I allow God to speak to me through His Holy Spirit out of that Word, and then I pray that back, and I ask Him to help me do that and live that out. That's transformational prayer. The transactional prayer is I'm praying for my needs or the needs of others. And intercessory prayer is where I'm praying for salvations. I'm praying for big things and God to do big things. And I'm interceding on behalf of the nation, behalf of my own life, behalf of somebody else. Right. I mean, not my own life, but somebody else. I'm crying out for them. I'm standing in the gap that is there.
So how would you differentiate between transactional prayers, excuse me, and intercessory prayer? They seem to be kind of close
together. They lead into each other.
Okay. You're not saying that transactional prayers are bad. You're just saying that that's not the ultimate end game and that we need all of it.
We need all of it, yeah. But I need to start aiming at transformational prayers and allowing what God is doing into me to start seizing these other things.
Okay.
And so that intercessory is a deep, is that urging on the inside. Yeah. It's that Holy Spirit assigned, you need to pray for this need.
Okay. Okay. That's good.
And, so I'm going to be good to my word. I talked about, if all you did was ask, your spouse for things, there wouldn't be much of a relationship. I've got to run now because it's my wife's birthday and I want to stay married. I want to be able to take her to my next church with me. And so thank y'all for letting me be a part of this, but I'm going to have to cut out. God bless you.
Joey, we love you, man. Thanks for hanging out with us for a little while today. Go and celebrate your bride, man. Tell her we said happy birthday, and the Small Church Leadership Nation said amen. No, don't sing. We're not singing. We're not singing. Yeah. So, Joey, thanks for sharing with us some of your passion about prayer. You know, Colby, as we shift here.
As soon as he leaves, we'll talk about him.
Absolutely. Like, we ain't even going to let him leave.
We talk about him while he's here.
I don't know. He brought me breakfast today, so I probably shouldn't talk about him too much. So, he doesn't listen to the podcast anyway, so we can say whatever we want to say. So as we shift here, I do want to take a little bit of time and kind of talk about journaling those prayers and what that looks like.
Sure.
For me, it helps me to slow down. And the word that I used in the last podcast is articulate. I think for me, and I feel like I speak for a lot of us, when we go through the motions, some of it is just parroting off the stuff that we're used to saying. Yeah. They call it in communication classes, verbalized pauses, like saying, stuff like that. I think we have those in our prayer time, like Father God.
Yeah.
Or this is one that's a big pet peeve of mine. Lord, we just. Lord, we just. Lord, we just. Lord, we just. And I think sometimes we have that kind of language and we don't really slow down and articulate. Like somebody asks, how are you doing? And we just, oh, I'm good. Are you? Slow down and like sometimes I will slow down and think about how I've been doing. And people are like, that must mean he's doing bad. No, that means I want to give you an honest answer. And I've been so frazzled that I don't really know how I'm doing. Journaling my prayers particularly helps me slow down and go, man, what is it specifically that if God only answered what I'm about to put in this paragraph, how would I word this?
Yeah.
And I don't think that God is just like, okay, you got to have the specific words or I'm not going to answer it the way that it needs to be answered. God is sovereign and his will is better than all things and we're seeking his will. But what it does for me is it forces me to have, I'm a human. I need language to understand it. And it helps me figure out this is the language that I'm trying to articulate the needs, the cry of my soul and the cry of my heart. And man, there's something about reading the words as you're writing them going, man, this is serious here. Yeah. This is what I'm doing deep business in deep waters here.
And we talked the last podcast about being truthful when you're going. And so I have noticed that my prayers that I'm writing out are about as truthful as they can be. And it's not the, and you know, you talk about those words that we throw in there, the uhs and the ums. And when prayers go, it's, you know, Father God, Lord, mm-hmm. Jesus, God, Lord. And I saw something where somebody had put something like, Brian, it was such a great time today, friend. It was such a wonderful Brian. It was a great day, Brian. And Brian, I just hope that Brian, that we can get through this podcast, Brian. You know, that's what it's got to sound like to God when we do that. But when we write it down, I'm not putting Lord God, God, Lord, please, Father God.
Right.
You know, I'm just writing the words to him that are coming out of my heart at that particular time. And it is helping. We talked about journaling, and when we talk about journaling our prayers, it's helping me. My prayers are simple because I am simple. I'm not a complex guy. And God knows that I'm simple. So it's not like he's not listening because I'm not writing in the King James Version.
Right.
I'm just writing to God what my heart is feeling at that particular time. And it's helped my prayer life to focus on him. And I preach about this several times. And I just said it the other day was, we do drive-by prayers. And it is one of those things where it's like, God, please help Aunt Betty's grown toenail. And
that's
off
good.
We go. And that is translated, because we're busy, it's translated into just about every aspect of our lives, not just the prayers, but our devotional time is really, most people I would say, and I don't know this to be truth, so this is probably just devotions by Colby, it is probably just the K-Love verse of the day or the YouVersion verse of the day. That is our Bible study for the day.
Uh-huh.
And maybe you're doing some sort of devotional plan that's on their app or whatever, but we do the drive-by prayers, and the drive-by prayers flow into our drive-by Bible study, which is not really a Bible study. It's just reading the verse of the day.
Right.
And then we go about our business because we're busy. And I think that this prayer, writing our prayers, allows us to slow down and really give God our heart. And also what I have found is hearing from God.
Yeah.
Because the things I'm putting down on paper, I'm like, wait a minute, I didn't think of those things before, and now you've got me thinking about these things because
right.
I wrote it down, and now it's in front of me, and I'm like, wait a minute, I don't want to deal with that.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
I want to go about my business. I just want to write this down, God, so I can get my 35 work days in a row.
Right.
And then we're looking at it, going, wow, I need to do better at this. Thanks, God.
Yeah, and I think there's something too about what you're talking about—not just me being heard, but me hearing. There's something about when I write that down and I stop and I go, man, God, how would you speak to this situation? Mm-hmm. And to go back to that ruthlessly eliminating hurry, I like the verse of the day because it's just, for me, somebody else has put the work in.
Yes.
And as a pastor, I'm always doing the Bible study, creating the content, designing this and that. So when I go to the verse of the day, I'm like, I didn't have to think about it. I just get to receive and absorb it. But the downside for that is, well, I've got that box checked off today. And I've been slowing down intentionally, trying to diagram the verse of the day, trying to really dive deeper into it, pray through the verse of the day. And what I'm trying to do with that is not have those drive-by moments. Mm-hmm. Because what I found is this, when I'm superficial with the word, I'm superficial with my prayers, really with everything.
Yeah.
And this has helped me to slow down and helped me to really not choose Bible reading or view Bible reading and prayer as a conquest. And we're like, it's like Bill Belichick, right? Like we're off to the next one. We're off to the next one. He didn't want to talk about, we're off to this next thing. Sometimes we do Bible study like that. Well, I did the verse of the day. Now I'm off to the rest of my life, or I'm off to the rest of the day. No, like I'm going to really live in the word today. I'm going to live with Jesus today. I'm going to let this flavor changed my entire day. And man, it's just been really good and really helpful. So I would encourage anybody out there in listener land to slow down, journal some prayers, man, really stop and meditate on what it is that you're using the, in terms of words. Like me and my journal prayers, when you come across a father or you come across a word that I'm using to communicate with God, it's not because it's filler language. Right. It's because I really am trying to come to you as my father, as my heavenly protector whom loves me dearly. And I struggle with that because my earthly dad wasn't that way. And I'm like, help me receive the fatherly love that I was supposed to get, that you designed. And so it's just really important to help us kind of slow down and process our prayers and not just throw something up against the wall until it sticks.
Yeah, that's real good. It's that slow down is really where I've experienced God most.
Yeah.
You know, I see him working everywhere. I mean, you can just look around and he's working. but when I asked this question, in one of my sermons recently. I know everybody's probably heard this or even every pastor has said this. When's the last time you were in awe of God?
Oh man.
When is the last time you sat there and was just like, you had no words to say because you were in awe of God? And that's where I want to be. I want every day of my life to just be in awe of God. Wow. And I go so fast. I've been very open. I'm a ready, fire, aim kind of guy. And sometimes it's just, I'm a fire kind of guy. And so we just go. And we're so busy and I want to stop and I want to experience God and I want to be in awe of him. And this is what the writing my prayers out in the journal has allowed me to do is to, you know, if I go back and I don't go back and read day one or day two or any of that stuff. But if I go back and I look at yesterday's, because when I'm writing, yesterday's prayer is on the other side of my notebook. So it's on that page that's up and I can see it. I can see that prayer. So when I'm doing today's, I see yesterday's prayer. And when I look over there and I see, wow, you know, this is what I prayed yesterday. And God, you did something great. You know, that's where I get to be in awe of God.
I love it, man. And that's something I heard R.C. Sproul say this a while back. He said, every day he tries to have an Isaiah 6 moment. You know, Isaiah 6, isn't that where Isaiah sees the Lord high and lifted up? And he's like, whoa, this God is so holy. I'm unclean. And his whole thing is like being captured by the awe and holiness of God. And unfortunately, sometimes in the church in America, we can rush through the programming, even personally, like prayer is a program that we can have and we can just rush through it because we have good hearts. I'm not saying that people are sinful or evil. Like, we have good hearts. But I think that there's something more to it than just the transactional part of it. Just the, I'm doing this because I'm a Christian. I'm supposed to pray and I need things from God. I want things from God. Just, man, I'm in awe of who he is. He is here and he is, wow. And that's something, man.
Yeah,
like, that is something right there.
That's where we should want to be.
Man. And so for those of you that are out there listening, man, we don't want you to leave this podcast with any feelings of guilt or shame or condemnation. We're all there. We're humans. Mm-hmm. We're like a pendulum swinging from passionately in love with Jesus to, oh man, I haven't prayed in a couple of days. That's just human nature. And so wherever you are, start there. You can't start at my starting line, but you can start at your starting line. And so start there. And so thanks for hanging out with us today. Listen, Joey's gone to hang out with his wife, so we can't put him on the spot today, but I'll put myself on the spot and say, if you haven't yet, go to social media, go to Facebook and type in to the search bar, Small Church Leadership. You can find us there. Make sure you like the page. Make sure you're following. So whenever we post something once every 6 months, you can find out about that and you can get connected with what's happening here. Hey, listen up. We also want you to know we're coming up on our 50th episode. That's pretty wild, isn't it, Colby?
It is. That's crazy.
We're coming up on our 50th episode, and what we've talked about doing is we're going to actually go Facebook Live while we're recording our 50th episode. You can't see our pretty faces if you don't go and like Small Church Leadership.
I got a face for radio, so Facebook Live might be something scary.
Well, we might have to crop. We'll do it from the neck down for all of us. That's what we'll do. So make sure you find us there. Colby, what else?
wherever you get your podcast, go out and give us a 5-star rating. That just gets it higher on the list of the greatest podcasts ever.
Ever.
And it will, let people see us and then share it with a friend.
That's right.
I know you've got one that hasn't listened to us, so share this podcast.
Share this podcast. And listen, for every time you share this podcast, we will donate one prayer to you.
I like it.
So, guys, thanks for listening to the Small Church Leadership Podcast, the podcast where we are prayerfully, hopefully, helping the small church fulfill the big mission. I'm Brian.
I'm Colby.
And I'm Joey. Joey. Thanks, guys. We'll see you next time. Bye.